Okay, so we are in lesson 3 of our series called Parenting God's Way. And again, I just want to remind you, this is not Parenting Brother Chad's Way. We are getting into what the Word of God says about how to parent our children. There's a lot of confusion out there, a lot of opinion out there. And I'm thankful that the Word of God doesn't change. It doesn't fluctuate with the culture. It is what God said it was from the beginning. And we can trust it. And we need to have faith in it. And so I'm really excited about that. We're going to be on that note in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we'll start today. We'll read a few verses. We're going to spend a lot of time there throughout our lesson. And I'm going to do my very best to make it through the whole lesson today. So we'll see. If I don't, that's all right. What I don't want to do is rush us through to where we made it through the lesson, but it was too fast, and you guys didn't understand any of it because I was talking so fast. So I want you to not feel any pressure about raising your hand, asking questions as we go through. Teaching Sunday school and learning and all of that, teaching is for you to like learn, okay? So it's not just for us to get through the curriculum. So if there's somewhere where it doesn't make sense, please feel free to ask questions. We'd love to deal with those as we go through. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we'll pray and get into our lesson today. Paul says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And then we dealt with that. The reason why our children obey their parents is because it's what God commands of them. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with, and then the word is, thee. Now who's the thee? It's the children. And we're going to spend more time on this as well, but when children obey, children don't obey because it's good for the parent. Right? A lot of times that's how we deal with parenting, is we want them to obey because it's frustrating when they don't obey. And so we make it between us and them, and we say, obey me because I said, and when you don't obey me, it makes my life difficult. That's why I want you to obey. But really, the person that has helped the most when a child chooses to obey is the child. It may be well with the child. And we'll talk about that a lot in our lesson today. Okay? And thou mayest live long on the earth. Now in verse 4, it gets to us. And ye fathers. And I think Paul's intent is parenthood in general, because he doesn't get to the mothers. And I feel like this is really enwrapped in parental authority. And so ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so what we have here in these verses is what God expects of our children in the child-parent relationship, and then what God expects of the parents in the child-parent relationship. And we have to remember this, that both of us are accountable to God. Our children are not ultimately accountable to us. They are accountable to God. And we are also accountable to God. They are accountable to do their part. And we as parents and as authorities of children in any way, really, are accountable to do our part, and we're really in the same boat as our children, that we are accountable to Him. And so I'm excited to get into it. And we titled our lesson this today, God has given you authority. God has given you authority. You can title it this, and this is how he titled it, you're in charge. You are in charge. And that's our role in this relationship. So let's pray. And we'll get into our lesson. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it is so helpful and robust and gives us everything we need to be the parents that you want us to be. Help us, God, to trust you. Help us to have faith in your word and to do things your way, not just because we feel it works the best, but because you're God and you deserve for us to parent the way you would have us to parent, and really every facet of our life to be lived the way that you'd have us to and for your glory. And so I pray that you help us to have faith this morning, and then help us to understand what it is that you have for us as parents today as we talk about authority. We love you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Amen. So I don't know if anyone read the book. And again, you don't have to read the book to really understand what we're doing, because I'm going to be as exhaustive as we need to be. But he gives an illustration in the very beginning about him and his children. Is this chapter 3, I believe it is? Or is it maybe, is it 4? Okay, it's chapter 4. Talking about you are in charge. And we're not going to read the book right now, but he gives an illustration. And I have when I read it, I saw myself in the illustration, because I think every family has this exact dynamic, okay? And so in our notes, he says, I say, but I know for sure I have experienced the exact same scenario. And so I remember many times playing in the backyard with my brother. And so I have a brother who's a year and a half older than me, and I have a sister who's 5 years younger than me, okay? And so it's kind of a fun dynamic. My brother and I really were super close that way, but then we were also close to our sister in a different way. But anyway, my brother and I would be playing out back a lot. And I to give you a specific time this happened, I couldn't, but we do all kinds of stuff in the backyard. And we'll be playing whatever it is. We had a trampoline, which I think was probably one of the worst health decisions. Well, that's not true, because we had a trampoline, but also we were into wrestling. And so my dad built us. He put poles in the ground and actually put just twine ropes. And so we would bounce off the ropes and jump on it. It was bad. I have a lot of back problems. I'm sure I'll find out when I'm 50 or so. But anyway, we'll be in the backyard. We'll be playing. And my younger sister would burst through the back door and yell something like, "Wes, Chad, you need to come inside right now." And of course, my brother and I would look at each other and like, whatever, and keep playing. She would call us in for whatever. She might want us to come in to play with her dollhouse. She might want us to come in. And most of the time, it's just something she wants us to do. And so we would keep playing. About 10 seconds later, she would come back outside and yell again with all of those same words, except she'd add two little very important words. And she would say, "Wes, Chad, you need to come inside right now." And then she'd say, "Mom said," and that's the blanks there. "Mom said." Now it's different, right? Now we better go. And so immediately we'd stop whatever we were doing, no matter how fun it was, we'd stop and we'd go inside. And so what was the difference between those two commands? Most of the words were exactly the same. The first time she called, though, she came, and here's the important part, she came out on her own authority. And there's no, I don't know if I have a blank there, but she came out on her own authority. Yeah, telling her two older brothers what to do. And if you have kids, you know exactly how that would go. First of all, even if they're the same age, that's not going well. But if there's one that's 5 years younger and they're demanding, no, not nothing. It's not going to make any difference, except they'll be mad at the other one. That's all that'll happen. And so the second time, though, she came out as her mother's agent. And now we're going to use that term a lot, agent, like we're secret agents or something, like FBI agents. But there's a specific definition of that, which means she came out very clearly not on her own errand. Now, that's the blank. I don't know if maybe you wrote authority there, but it could be, because it's a very similar wording. But she came out on her own, not on her own errand, but on her mother's errand, and with the full authority of her mother behind her. And so she was mom's agent. See, she was mom's spokesperson, if you will. She had mom's agenda, she had mom's errand, and she said what mom wanted, and so then it's immediately time to do what she said. Why? Not because it's what my sister wanted, because we knew mom wanted this. And it was very clear to us that mom wanted this, and if we didn't do what mom said through my sister, then we're going to be held accountable to that, you see? And so my sister was my mom's agent on my mom's errand. And so that's a great illustration of what we need to understand as parents. We need to understand what is the basis of our authority over our children. We need to understand that as we parent our children, we should not be acting on our own errand, but on the behalf of God. I think as parents, I think just by default, if we don't think this way, we just come to our children on our own authority, with whatever authority that we decide and whatever reason why we feel we have authority, we come to our children, we talk to them based on that authority. But we need to understand what is the basis of our authority and how that works. Okay, so we're going to deal with that. So number one is this, confusion. Confusion about authority. C-O-N-F-U-S-I-O-N. Confusion about authority. You know, we said in the first lesson that our culture is very confused when it comes to parenting. And I think a lot of that is a confusion about authority. Our American culture does not like authority. That's the blank. Our American culture does not like authority. Our culture doesn't like authority in two ways. The first is we don't like being under authority. That's, I think, maybe the main one, but really kind of a sub point of that and an implication of that is that we don't like being the authority. Why? Well, because we hate authority so bad. And whenever we become authorities, then we kind of feel bad. Like we're the bad guy now because we make the authority the bad guy when we're under authority. And then when we become the authority, sometimes we feel like we are the bad guy now. And we feel maybe selfish and we feel like we're doing our own thing and making people do what we want. And the reason for that is because of our view of authorities. Because we view our authorities as selfish. And we view our authorities oftentimes, and maybe not us, but our society for sure does. And it's like they're just on a power trip. They just want what they want. And usually that's not even the case. Normally, our authorities have other authorities. And they have other authorities. And really, when we come to, now I'm getting kind of a little deep here, but like when we're talking about companies and the CEO, really, he has no authority, but he does, because if he doesn't do what the people want, his company won't last. And so this authority structure is not as scary and as our culture makes it out to be, but I think it gets us confused about what authority is and what it's not. The idea of authority has become misunderstood and uncomfortable, and it has negatively affected our homes. Letter B is this: we need a biblical understanding of authority. We need a biblical understanding of authority. I'll just say this. This isn't going to be exhaustive because the Bible is very, very, it puts a lot of weight on authority. The Bible, God has placed authorities in place on purpose, and he works through authority, and authority is a big deal, which I believe is part is why we reject it so bad, because our flesh doesn't want what God wants. And God is very big on authority. And here's how that works. And the dynamic is here in parenthood as well. He's very big on those who are under authority being submissive to their authority, but he's also just as big, if not bigger, on the authority being the proper authority. You see, and being the authority that they're supposed to be. God is very big on that. It starts with, first of all, the Trinity is an authority structure. I don't know if you realize that, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father has authority over God the Son, and God the Son has authority over God the Spirit. Well, what do you mean? Well, the Holy Spirit says, I say not what I say. Jesus said, he will not speak of himself, but of me. So the Holy Spirit does not come up with stuff to say. He confirms what Jesus said and what the Bible says. So he falls under the authority of Christ. And Jesus said, not my will, but the Father's will, right? And he falls. Now, does that make Jesus or the Holy Spirit any less important than the Father? No, they're all just as important, but authority structures are also important. And just because someone's an authority doesn't make them more important, you see? So that's one thing we're not going to deal with a lot today. But there's the Trinity, and then there's obviously the home, and God set up the home to be an authority structure. God set up the way the church operates to be an authority structure. God instituted human government and placed authorities. The Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God, and God's involved with the governments of this world. And anyway, he's all about authority. And so if we have a bad attitude and uncomfortable about the idea of authority, it's going to affect a lot of areas of life and really, really directly will affect negatively our parenting. Okay? Okay, so with that in mind, page 2, we need to ask some basic questions about our authority as parents over our children. So specifically, as parents having authority over our children, there's some questions. Number 1, what is the nature of the parent's authority over the child? What does that look like? Is our authority absolute or is it relative? Like based on the situation and the context, now we have authority, but other times we don't really have a lot of authority over our children. Is the authority vested in the parent because of the relative size difference between the parents and young children? And you laugh probably a little bit on the inside, but that is a lot how we feel about it. I'm bigger than you, do what I say. I'm an adult, you're a child. And is that the reason why we have authority? Are we in charge because we're smarter, older, more intelligent? And if not, why do we often say that to our children to underscore our authority? And we'll tell our children, I know better than you. Thanks for switching that T to an R. I noticed that right now. Our children, not out authority, not, yeah, anyway, it's supposed to be our authority. But I think oftentimes just by default, we think, well, our children should obey me because I'm bigger, I'm smarter, I know more, I'm more intelligent. But I'm just warning you now, if you're parents of young children, there's going to come a time where your children might be bigger than you. And they're still your authority. Yeah, Tyler, that took like, what, 12 years. Okay? All right? Or can I be honest too? Sometimes your children will be smarter than you. And sometimes they'll be a higher moral authority than you in some certain situations. What do you mean? They might have the moral high ground in some areas. Does that mean you're not their authority anymore? No. No, it doesn't. Because that's not how we base our authority. Are we in charge because we are not sinners and they are? Well, obviously, no. Do we have the right to tell our kids to do anything we want them to do? How does this authority really work? Number two, if we don't have a clear understanding, that's the blank, unless I didn't give it to you. If we don't have a clear understanding of the nature and extent of our authority, then our children will suffer greatly. It's not a question necessarily that we will suffer, which we will, because you know our homes won't be right, and when our kids aren't doing well, it does affect us. But really, the impetus here is that your children are going to suffer. Because why? Well, they're called to obey and honor. And if we're not clear about what we're supposed to be authorities over and what we're not, our kids for sure aren't going to be clear about that, and they're not going to be able to obey the commands that God has given them to do what? To obey and honor. We'll be insecure about when we exercise or don't exercise our authority. What is with me? Not out authority. Our authority. Maybe my fingers just have that muscle memory or something. Often the amount, this is an important line here. Often the amount that we demand obedience from our kids is based upon how much pressure or stress we feel at the moment. Is that true or not? If we're at home, we're relaxed, kids kind of have free reign of the house, they do whatever they want. We ask them to do something, they blow us off. It's not a big deal. In public, now all of a sudden, they are supposed to listen, right? And can you see the confusion there? Yeah, it's confusing for our kids. Our children will never know what to expect from us, and our rules will constantly change. We need to understand our mandate to shepherd our children with God's authority. I like the idea of shepherding, and that's really, the book is called Shepherding a Child's Heart, because sheep need directing. They need that. And they need it to be done lovingly, but they do need directing. And as parents, we're called to shepherd our children. And we need to direct them. And we have a mandate to do that. And we have that mandate with God's authority, okay? So we'll talk about that a little bit here. Number two is called to be in charge. As a parent, you are an agent. Again, we're going to use that term again. You are an agent acting on God's behalf. That's what it means to be an agent. You're acting on God's behalf. As a parent, you have authority because God calls you to be an authority in your child's life. And really, there's no other reason. It has nothing to do with if you're a good parent or bad parent. It has nothing to do with you're bigger or smaller, or if you're smarter or not. It's all because God has given you authority to do what God calls you to do as a parent. As a parent, you do not exercise rule over your jurisdiction, but over God's. You are on God's errand, not your errand. What you do as a parent must be pleasing to God, and so you must undertake all your instruction, your care, your nurture, your correction, and discipline because God has called you to. This is why we do what we do as parents. At least it should be, and we need to change our mindset on that. It's not just so that, you know, people don't look at us bad because we didn't raise our kids right. It's not just so that our kids can become good citizens and make it past high school alive. The reason why we do what we do as parents needs to be because God has asked us to and really commanded us to. Now, there's this thing called the circle of safety. That's the blank. Circle of safety. Now, if you read the book, it wasn't in there. It's actually later on in the book, and we'll get to it more in detail. But I think this is so helpful in us understanding the dynamic of children and parent. Okay? So we said, and we're not going to reread the verses. We've talked quite a bit about it. But in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, God has drawn a circle of his blessing for children. Children are to live within the circle of submission to parental authority. They are to obey and honor, right? That's what God calls for them to do. Verse 1, obey your parents. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. They are to obey and honor. Now, in future lessons, we're going to deal a lot more with what that really means. But the idea, the basic idea, if will just help. What you know about what is obeying and honoring. Honoring means to respect. And so your children need to honor, respect, and they need to obey their parents. And when they do that, when they honor and obey, then it's going to go well for them. They'll have long life. That's what the Bible says. It's a promise. Their life will be better. Okay? And so if you notice on our, I was going to draw it on there, but with the slide and everything, I just had no time. But if you see the circle here and the child that's in there, he is called to obey and honor. And when he does, then his life will go well and it'll be good for the child. Okay, so this, when they're inside this circle, now this isn't obviously a physical circle, but is when they are acting the way God has them and they're doing what God wants them to do, which is primarily obey and honor, especially in the sphere of what we're talking about as their responsibility to their parents. They are to obey and honor, okay? As soon as your child steps out of that circle, what does that mean? He's not obeying or he's not honoring. He's not respectful. By the way, it's not just like a direct command, they did it, but they're being disrespectful. That's still stepping out of the circle, right? When they're not being respectful, they're out of that circle of safety. And when they step out of the circle of safety, he needs to be rescued from the danger. What do you mean? Well, when he's honoring and obeying his parents, he is able to experience the blessings of God in his life. He is where God wants him to be. And whenever they step out of that, it's dangerous for them. You see? And this is, do you see the mind shift here? That usually we think of when they step out of that circle and they disobey, this is bad for me. And that has a couple implications. One, either we're selfish and we're okay with that and we yell at them and we say, you get back here and you listen. Or we're not necessarily selfish, but we feel like we're selfish because we're demanding they do what we want. And it feels like it's all about us, but it's not all about us, is it? And it's not. We're going to say more about this in a second, but it's not between the child and you. This is between the child and God. And when your child disobeys you or dishonors you, they're not only dishonoring you and disobeying you, but they're dishonoring God and disobeying God, and they cannot expect to have the blessings of God and for it to go well. In fact, what happens, if you look at our circle, they disobey, they dishonor, they come over to this danger zone, which is outside the circle of safety, and they have difficulty and hardship. And their life is harder. Why? Because God has commanded they obey and honor. And in whatever way, in whatever tangible way this comes out, it affects their life negatively. If for nothing else, they just feel like it's okay to be dishonoring and disrespectful and disobedient and to reject authority. And I'm telling you, we've seen the fruit of that. When children have this and they live in this danger zone, they'll become adults one day. And you know, whenever, here's the deal. Whenever children are disobedient and dishonoring, there are consequences, the law of sowing and reaping. And here's what happens often, is parents go ahead and take the brunt of all of that, all of the bad stuff that comes from them being disobedient and dishonoring. And we just take it for them. But one day they'll be adults and they'll still have no respect for authority and you're not there anymore. And they will take all of the brunt of all of the bad things that come along with being someone who does not submit to authority. And they won't be able to hold the job. There's a good chance they'll be in trouble with the law and things like that will happen. But more than that, they just won't be right with God. Yeah. And so it's bad for them. It's not just bad for us. It's bad for them. And so, number four again, as soon as your child steps out of that circle of safety, he needs to be rescued from the danger of stubborn independence from your authority. So your authority represents God's authority. Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page here? And so this is where correction and discipline comes in. And if you see, again, on our diagram here, when they dishonor, disobey, they step out, discipline and correction brings them back in. And then they're back in and it's over. And we don't hold grudges and we don't, you know, shame them for the rest of the week. We discipline them. There's correction. Hopefully we've appealed to their conscience and their heart and they've repented and it's done and they're back. And they're restored with God. They're restored with you and life is good again. I mean, we've rescued them, you see. This is the biblical way of parenting. And so more will be said in future lessons about the circle of safety, how to biblically correct and discipline, and all of that. But I wanted to give that to you because I just think it's so helpful and it lays it all out for us. Okay? So that's where our children are. Now, Ephesians 6:4, where it deals with the parents. This verse commands you as a parent to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again, it's of the Lord, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then we're supposed to bring them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're God's agent here. We're nurturing them on God's behalf. We're admonishing them on God's behalf. To nurture means to train up. It means instruction, discipline, correction. Yeah. And admonition means warning. And so as a godly parent, you are called to act on God's behalf to bring correction and discipline when your children have left, when your children leave the circle of safety. You and your children are in the same boat. And we said this, but I hope it's making sense now. That you're in the same boat in this way, that both you and your children are under authority. You are under God's authority, and your children are under your God-given authority. You see? Is this all clicking and making sense? Yes. Yeah. It's a big deal. It sounds like maybe, it almost sounds obvious when we say it. Maybe not. Maybe this is profound, like you never thought of it this way. But in the moment, this is a big change and a big shift in thinking often when we deal with our kids, and it makes a big difference. And we'll see the implications of that here in a second. So when you come to your children to discipline, you should come on behalf of God. God tells you when to come. God tells you how to come. God tells you what to say when to come. And again, all of these will be dealt with in future lessons in more detail, but it's all... You're acting on God's behalf. Discipline is not a matter between you and the child. It is between the child and God. And you are simply acting on God's behalf. And we have to have that mindset when we deal with our children. And it's hard because we are offended oftentimes when our children disobey and dishonor. I think the more we understand who our kids are, and we understand, like we said last week, about the centrality of the cross, and we're all sinners, and they're sinners as much as I'm sinners, I think as the more we understand that concept, the less shocked and offended we'll be. We should never be shocked our children sin. Okay? To be fully honest, we should never be shocked by anybody's sin. We're sinners. Does that mean we're okay with it? Well, no. Do we condone it? No. But should we be shocked and like appalled by it? Hello, they're sinners. And so are you, by the way. And we just have to deal with that. And the way we deal with that is the cross. But what I'm saying is, when our children disobey and dishonor, there's a level of offense there. And there's a really strong urge to make it between you and the child. And you know what? You really hurt me when you did that. And because of that, I'm going to hurt you. You know, however that feels. Whether that's spanking, whether that's isolation from the family or whatever you do. The pain that you're experiencing is because you've brought me pain. And there's a really hard urge to do it that way. But we cannot. We cannot make it between us and the children. And there's a real good reason about that. Okay? All right, letter B. Unholy anger. Much different. Unholy anger. Anger over the fact that you are not getting out of your children what you want will muddy the waters of discipline. When your child disobeys, it is not you they are disobeying, it is God. Okay? And we have to get that down. It is God who is being dishonored when you are not honored. Correction comes not because you're fed up with your children, but because God has called you to correct your children. And oftentimes, you know, even the permissive parent who lets their children have free rein eventually becomes fed up. And then the discipline is really crazy. You know, it's like it's bottled up and bottled up. Their kids, let them have their way. Let them express themselves. They're just expressing themselves. They don't mean to. They're perfect little angels. Let them express themselves. And then it's like, you're like, get over here. And then I'll describe it this way. It becomes very abusive, whether it's physical or not. And I would contend abusive, child abuse has much less to do with whether it's physical and much more to do with our attitude. Okay, letter number 5. Oh, wait, but here's the reason. Because God has called you to correct. We don't correct because we're fed up. We correct because God's called us to correct. Number 5. If you allow anger to muddy the water of correction, you are wrong, and you need to ask for forgiveness from your child.
What?
Yeah. Why? Because your child will understand, mommy and daddy are sinners too. And they need to know that. We're both on the same boat. And sometimes I mess up and God deals with me. And whenever you mess up, God has called me to deal with you as his agent. But I apologize for what I did. In number four, it says, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. When you come angry and you make it between your child and you start blowing them out of the water, that's what that's talking about. And you're wrong. You're just wrong. And you need to come back to your child and say, now, you were called by God to obey and honor me. And I'm not sorry about that. I'm not sorry about giving you the correction that you needed, but my spirit was wrong. I need to apologize. So that your children understand that we all need the cross. Yeah. Yeah. Your right to discipline your children is tied to what God has called you to do, not to your own agenda. All right, let's move forward here. Number 3, called to obedience. Obedience. Your children are called to obedience, but so are you. What do you mean? Well, you're called to obey your mandate, to correct and bring discipline, right? We're all called to obedience here. Again, you are called to obey God by bringing correction. It's your job. It's one of your primary roles is to bring correction to your children. Why? Because your children need correcting, don't they? That's why God has us do that. Kids come to this world without knowing anything. All they have is a sin nature. And we need to correct. And we need to show them who God is. We need to show them what God expects. And when they don't measure up to that, we need to correct that and get them back into the circle of safety. And it's our job to correct. Biblical correction, again, is not between the child and the parent. Biblical correction makes the matter between the child and God. You engage your child on behalf of God because God has first engaged you. Biblical correction sounds something like this. Father, you didn't obey Daddy, did you? That's much different than like, what did you do? Did you not hear what I said? That's not how it goes. This is you didn't obey. And again, we're trying to help them see and admit that they were wrong. They have to know that they were wrong, not just that you think they were wrong. And this is a very, very abridged version of what this conversation looks like. But this is the basic elements. That you didn't obey Daddy, did you? And the child says no. And then the father says, do you remember what God says Daddy must do if you disobey? And the child will say, spank me? And by the way, I almost didn't put that in there because I have to explain, but we will explain. The Bible is very clear that spanking is biblical and right, but there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. But that is one of the ways that we discipline and correct. And we'll talk more about that. But yes, that's what God does command us to do. And the father says, that's right, I must spank you. If I don't, then I would be disobeying God. You and I would both be wrong. That would not be good for you or for me, would it? And do you see the change of mind there? and the reason and the you're not blowing up, is this just the reality and this is what we're doing? And the child says no, and then you go on and you give the correction. And again, this is very basic, but you should be dealing with specifically what they did and showing them and teaching them and training them to see how they were wrong. They need that. Yes?
I remember having my children, when they were small enough, sit on my lap. And even before the father asking, you didn't obey.
Yes.
The child tell you what they did.
Yes.
Wrong. What did you do? Why are we
here? Exactly. And that's the best way to really handle it. That the number one, you didn't obey, daddy did you, looks a lot more like, let's find out what was going on in your heart. What were you thinking about? What was going on? And really, like we said in the first couple lessons, we need to really try to understand them, what they really were feeling. Not just what they think we want them to say, but really we're concerned because we love them. And somewhere along, the reason they disobeyed and dishonored is somewhere along the line, in their heart, they decided not to obey God. And something became more important, whether that's what they wanted, whether that was their anger that got better of them. And we need to understand what's happening in their heart and make sure they understand what's happening in their heart before we bring accusation. We actually shouldn't bring accusation. We shouldn't just tell them what we think they did. Because if we're wrong, then they are not going to forget that. And the correction is gone, and they're defending themselves and everything. The Bible says that a fool answers before he hears a matter, mm-hmm. And if we and then what will happen is sometimes we make a decision about what they was going on in their heart, like they disobeyed, but maybe the reason they disobeyed, we don't know that, but we just assume it. It's because you did that because you wanted this. Well, they didn't want that at all. There's a whole other reason. And then what we start doing is we start fixing a problem that doesn't exist. And you see how that can be a problem? And then the child walks away not helped, just corrected, and not feeling understood. And the correction is really and not wasted, but not as helpful as it should be. Does that make sense? So we really need to understand what is happening and why they did it and help them to see why it was wrong. Okay? Thank you for bringing that up, Ms. Marilyn. But yeah, like I say, that conversation is a lot longer than that. And again, we will have a whole lesson about how to communicate with your children and a lot of different ways to approach that. Okay? We'll flesh all this out. And so, but for our purposes of this lesson and talking about authority, then the conversation like this, we're back in our notes, like this communicates to the child that you are not spanking him because you are mean. And that's automatically what the kid's going to think, because you're mean. And to be honest, sometimes we feel that way. I feel like I'm mean for spanking our children. And it's never fun, unless you're weird. It's never fun to spank your children, ever. It's never been like, yeah, I'm glad I did that. It's not, but we're called to, and there's a reason we're doing that. You're not trying to force him to submit to you only because you're annoyed by his behavior. You are not mad at him, and I think that needs to be explained to your children. I'm not mad at you, but we've messed up here, and we need to correct it, you see. You, like him, are under God's rule and authority. God has called you to a task that you cannot ignore or shrug off. You are requiring obedience because God says you must. You see? This is biblical parenting. Letter B. Confidence to act. Confidence to act. When you direct, correct, or discipline, you are not acting of your own will, you are acting on behalf of God. And we said that. But here's the implication. You don't have to wonder if you're in charge. And I think there, because of our confusion about authority in our society, sometimes we wonder, well, do they really need to listen to me right now? Well, yes. It doesn't matter the context. They do need to listen and obey and honor. Okay? Unless what you ask them to do goes against what God commands them to do, they are called to obey and honor. And that's the same for us, by the way. When our authorities command us to do something, unless it goes against what God calls us to do, we just do what our authorities ask. We do what our boss asks. We do what our government asks. We do what the police ask, as long as it's not against what God wants. That's how authority works. And so you don't have to wonder if you're in charge. You don't have to ask your children for permission. Can you please listen to daddy? No, that's not. I mean, I get it, and you're trying to be kind. And I think I've probably said that before to Myla. But in the end, you don't need to ask permission. They are called by God to obey, you see. Yes.
I hear a lot of people give a commandment and then say, okay.
Yeah. Right.
So be careful of the
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I know why they're doing that, because we still want to be kind about it, you know? And so we say please, and we say things like that. But our children need to know, they need to have this very well understood, that we don't have to ask please or okay. Whenever we command, they need to listen and obey. Unless it truly is something where they don't have to do it, which you've asked them to do something that's up to them. But that needs to be made very clear. But when you give them a direct command, they are called by God to obey and to honor. Okay? Okay? I've heard Brother Sam say something like that about preachers who say that. You know, they say what God says, and he says, okay, and he made fun of it. And then he said it like 3 or 4 times and caught himself. It just is what we do. Okay, but that's okay. But I appreciate you saying that, because it is part, I think, of the way we view authority, that we don't want, and we shouldn't err to the other side, to where we are totalitarian and authoritarian, and you say you do what we say because we said it, or else. We don't have to have that attitude either. It's just a calm, reasonable, here's what God expects. Okay? Number 4. God has given you. When I say okay, I mean, do you understand? Maybe, I think, I'm pretty sure that's what I mean when I say that to child, yeah. To Myla too. All right. Yeah. You get it? Are you following? You know, so I get that. Yeah. Like, is it okay if I said that to you? Are we all right? Well, yes, because you're the authority. Okay, but yes. As long as the child understands, it's not really a question. It's not really like, if you feel it's okay for you to obey, then you go ahead and do it. But if you feel like it's not a good idea to obey, you don't have to. That we can't communicate that to our children. Although we often do, not just by our words, but often how inconsistent we are and how we actually treat obedience. Okay, we get it. Move on. God has given you a duty to perform. Therefore, the endorsement of your child is not necessary. It's not necessary. And again, don't be mean about it, but it is the way it is. And your child needs to understand that. All right, letter C. A mandate to ask, to act. I'm sorry. A mandate to act. Not only do you have the authority and confidence, but you have a mandate. That means you need to do it. Understanding that you are God's agent as a parent deals not only with the right to act, it also provides the mandate to act. You don't have a choice. Not really, between you and God. I mean, you can choose not to, but not without breaking what God expects. You must engage your children. You are acting in obedience to God. It is your duty as a parent. You must be obedient to God and be in charge of your children. Be in charge with a benevolent and gracious manner, and that's important. But you must be an authority for your children. They need that. God's designed them that way, and it's what God expects. And for us to neglect our duty, we're not giving them what they need to be what it is that God has them to be. Okay, summary. That's the kind of conclusion, but really drawn out, okay? Letter A. I'm going to say that, and I'm not going to address it again because it's going to happen. Okay, letter A. Humility. Humility in your task. As God's agent, it is sobering that you are correcting your child by God's command. And we just said you have confidence. And here's a really important thing for us to understand. You can have confidence and humility at the same time. And you should. Because your confidence doesn't come from yourself. It comes from God-given authority. And so we can be confident, but we're also humble. You stand before your children as God's agent to show them their sin. You are God's ambassador for your children. You represent Him. Okay, so let's make sure we remember that. Letter B. No place for anger. In discipline, there is no place for anger. When time for discipline is brought out due to anger, the child, this is really important, the child learns the fear of man, not the fear of God. When we approach our children in an angry way, then your child will immediately go into self-defense mode, and they're just concerned with having mommy and daddy not mad at them anymore, and they are not thinking about what God expects. We cannot be angry when we deal with our children. Any change in behavior that is produced by such anger is not going to move your child toward God. But if you correct and discipline your children because God mandates it, then you need not clutter up the task with your anger. So here, I want to say a couple quick things about that. If we are angry, it's because we forgot that it's not between us and the child. We forgot that we are not the one being offended. It is God who is being offended. And we forgot that we are no better than our children if we're angry. If we're angry, it's a demand that says, this is not the way I want. This is what anger really at the root is. Anger means did it not happen the way that I wanted it to happen. Well, it doesn't matter what you want. This is what God expects. And it is God who gave the command. Now, you gave the direct command. You gave the instruction. But God's command was for them to obey, not yours. And so we need to get off of our agenda and obey and expect what God expects because he expects it. So that anger is a good indicator that you've made it between you and the child and not them and God. Letter C, benefit to the child. Benefit to the child. The child learns to receive correction not because parents are always right, but because God says the rod of correction imparts wisdom, and whoever heeds correction shows prudence. When they learn to be submissive and they learn to obey and honor, It'll be good for them. It'll go well for them, not just in this instance, but for their life. As a character that they learn, it will benefit them throughout their life. Yeah. The child who accepts these truths will learn to accept correction. The children understand that as their parent, you are God's agent, used by God in the role of authority to direct God's ways. And even though you as a parent are not flawless, take out the word A, sorry. You are the instrument of God's work. They know that receiving correction will bring them understanding. And so whenever we have this dynamic down where it's not between you and the child, here's what happens. When kids are 3 and 4 and you say, I know better than you, you do what I say, they'll just do it for the most part. But we've said this before, as they get older, they'll learn you're not perfect and they'll learn you don't have a moral high ground. And you will say things like, you shouldn't have done that, that was wrong. And immediately, because it's between you and them, they'll find a way to make themselves better than you morally. And sometimes it's accurate, because we're just as sinful as they are. And so it's like one sinner mad at another sinner. You ever heard of the pot calling the kettle black? It's yeah. Just like that. But it has nothing to do with our moral authority. This is because God's called us. It has nothing to do with we're bigger or we're stronger or we're smarter. It's only because God has given us the authority. And that gives us humility, but that also gives us confidence. And when our children understand that even though mommy and daddy are wrong, God wants me to obey, they're learning a skill there that will benefit them their whole life. And when they have authorities that they don't agree with, they'll obey and be respectful. I don't want to jump into this, but the way we treat our government oftentimes is not honoring. And it's a lot of times because we have not learned that it doesn't matter if they are wrong or immoral. We have a mandate to honor the king and be a good submission to our authorities. And by the way, as we're bad talking our authorities, our children learn to bad talk us. We're called to be under authority and submissive and respectful. And so are our children. And it has nothing to do with we don't get to decide. We don't get to decide if our authorities deserve our respect and deserve our obedience. We don't get to decide that. God decided that. And your children don't get to decide if you deserve their obedience and if you deserve their respect. And you don't have to try to earn their obedience and earn their respect. This is all between them and God. You see? Letter D. Discipline is corrective, not punitive. If correction stems from the parent who is offended, then the focus will be venting anger, or perhaps taking vengeance. This is not discipline. This is punishment. This is punitive punishment. If, however, correction stems from God as the one offended, then the focus is restoration. And when they disobey, what you want is for them to be made right with God again. That's correction. That's what correction means, to correct them, to bring them back to the right path. It's restorative. We're not just mad at them. We want them to do right. It's designed to move a child who has disobeyed God back to the path of obedience. That's what discipline is about. And the last one, letter E, discipline is an expression of love. Now, this I know it's we're getting out and stuff, but let's try to focus. This is really important. There's a tendency to view discipline as mean or unloving. And again, it goes back to how our culture views authority. This is based on an unbiblical view of discipline. Discipline is not meant to get even with your child for what they did wrong. We're not being vindictive here. Discipline is meant to lovingly restore a disobedient child back to the circle of safety. The Bible is clear that while discipline is not pleasant, and that's why we feel like it's mean, it's not pleasant, it is the act of a loving Father, even the loving act of God toward us as our Heavenly Father. And those verses deal with both of those aspects, that a loving parent will discipline. The Bible says that if you don't discipline your children, you don't truly love them. The Bible says that if we let a child to themselves, they'll destroy their life. And so we're called to lovingly correct, and God lovingly corrects us as our Heavenly Father. So discipline is seen as unloving because often parents don't see themselves as God's agent. Instead, parents punish children because their behavior is irritating. Punishment becomes simply airing frustration. They say things like this, and I've heard parents say things like this to their children. I'm fed up with you. And the parents will say that. You are making me mad. I'm going to hit you or yell at you or make you sit in a chair in isolation from the family until you figure out what you did was wrong. And I'm telling you that every of those is abuse. Whether they hit or yell or isolate the child from the family, whenever you talk to a child that way and you have this, I'm fed up with you, you've messed up, however we act after that, that's when a situation becomes abusive. That is not discipline. That is not corrective. That is punishment. It is ungodly child abuse. It is what Paul is talking about when he says, provoke not your children to anger. It will result in bitterness. It will result in rebellion. And that's what Paul was talking about. Number 6, 7. True biblical discipline is an act of love, focused on restoring a disobedient child to God. The objective in discipline is to move toward your children, not against them. It is therapeutic, not penal. It is designed to restore relationships, not destroy them. We good? We understand? Yes, sir?
You said parents should obey their authorities, like,
mm-hmm. Honor and respect. You can disagree respectfully. No, see, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I agree with all of that. But here's what a lot of us don't understand. Here's what the Bible says. Honor the king. The king was Nero, who was killing Christians and burning down the cities. So there's a way to disagree without being disrespectful. And here's the other thing, is Daniel was under the authority of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was second in command, and he was respectful to Nebuchadnezzar. But when Nebuchadnezzar told him, don't pray, actually, that was King Darius, he was under a few kings, or even the Hebrew children. When he says bow, when the guy said bow to the statue, they didn't pick it, they didn't go cause an insurrection, they just didn't bow, you see? And they just followed God. Daniel, whenever Darius said, you can't pray anymore, what did Daniel do? He opened the windows. He didn't go, again, he didn't go to all the other Hebrews and say, I can't believe they said not to pray. Here's what he did. He just prayed. Why? Because God commanded him to. And whenever the authority, here's the way biblical authority works. When our authority asks us to do something that is not against the Bible, then we obey. If our authority asks us to do something that is against the Bible, then we respectfully disobey and do what God says. But But there's never, ever a reason to be disrespectful or dishonoring, because it does not, the Bible makes it very clear that the powers that be are ordained of God, and those who are disrespectful to their authority are disrespecting God himself. That's what Romans 13 says. But that does not mean that we need to agree, and it does not mean we need to endorse what they endorse, but that does mean that we have no place to be disrespectful. It does mean that. And we cannot expect our children to respect us as their authority if we don't respect the authorities that God has put over us. It's just the way that, it's the way of the of Christianity. Yeah, it's a good question. Well, let's pray. We're already late, and I'll let you go. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being, Lord, such a gracious and merciful God. And Lord, as we endeavor to do what you've called us to do as parents, I pray that you help us to have the right mindset and to raise our children as the kind authorities that you've called us to. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.